Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda will be in a little bit later today, and Liam's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Okay. Hey, it's the 6th of September, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. You got the weather today?
I do. We're going to have a high of 90 today. I'm a low of 63 tonight. We're kind of back up from that nice little cold spell we had this weekend. Looking forward throughout our week, we are going to stay in the high 80s and the low 90s. Sunday, we're going to have a high of 94, and we'll pick up on Monday with a high of 96. Our lows are going to stay in the 60s, though. So.
Yeah, I guess the 90s are back for a while.
Yep.
Yeah, they're better than the 100s.
That's true.
So, hey, the weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane is a locally owned, locally operated company out of Anderson that has been providing just outstanding service for a couple of decades. It's a veteran-owned business. Like I said, locally owned, locally operated. They give discounts for seniors and veterans and have other payment plans. There's really good people down there. Give them a call at 530-365-3793. A lot of things going on today. At 7:30, Dr. John Deloney is going to call us. He's written a number of books about surviving today's stress. And his newest book is called Building a Non-Anxious Life. I haven't read the whole thing, but I've read a lot of it. And it's interesting. And it's going to be to talk about, what should you listen to? You know, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about outside sources. I'm talking about internal sources. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a interesting interview. Also at 8 o'clock, we have as our guest Mayor Michael DeQuisto, Chief Bill Schuller, and Reading City Manager Barry Tippin. Now, you remember last week we had Jason Miller come in out of Lucky Miller's talking about the problems that businesses are facing. They're under siege. So I sent an email to the city council and CC'd Barry Tippin and saying, hey, guys, you need to listen to this and what's being done. So they're going to come on today and discuss that at 8 o'clock. So it should be an interesting show. But we start off with our Korean veterans here, Dick Wilkinson and Frank Rose. Good morning, gents.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great to be up.
It's good to be anywhere at our age. Hey, okay. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Well, we're recruiting again. We still like to have members, and like we talked about last time, we changed our name from Korean War Veterans to Korean Veterans. We'd like anybody who served in Korea to contact us. My phone number, local here, is 530-246-9131. And if you have a friend or relative, anybody you know who served in Korea, we'd like to have them contact us. So we're trying to increase our membership. You know, we're not getting any younger. Most Korean War veterans are in their 90s. December, I'll be 92, and Frank here is right behind me. And we have some board members that would like to step down and have some new blood in there to take over. And it's not easy to find new recruits.
But so what happens if you don't find somebody?
Huh?
It's the same thing that happens to other organizations, that you age out.
Every organization is the same.
Yeah, you age out. So for your Korean veterans isn't for people that fought in the Korean War. It's for anybody that served in Korea.
Right.
Also, male, right. Female, any branch of the service, any of this.
Right.
Now, what do you do? Why would I want to join?
What do we do?
Yeah, I mean, besides have meetings, I mean, you must.
Yeah, we do have on the third Saturday every month, we have a lunch meeting at the Country Waffle, and mm-hmm. the meeting starts at 12, but should arrive right before 11 if we should have lunch or breakfast. And then also we have some projects we work on. One of us is a dictionary project. You'd like to talk about that, Frank?
Yeah, the dictionaries are for third graders, and we have a list that we procured from the Reading Grange, which we make ourselves a little sub station for the Grange, because we're taking their lists from schools, and we call the schools up and find out how many are in the third grade, and then we accumulate. We've accumulated for 4 years now, total of six schools, of which we donate the dictionaries to each school, and then we order them, and then it comes right from the manufacturer, and then we stamp them with our logo on them and a little card that goes inside to say, please let us know how you like them, and then we actually deliver them to the schools. Now, over the past 4 years, we've done a total of 650 students. Last year, we did 192. So that's a project that we have. And then the internal thing is we have to have a treasury that comes out, and we have to supply that treasury. So we generally go to some local businesses and ask the permission to grant the petition of getting funds donated from the patrons that go in and out. And right now we're going to be looking for a new place to do it, because Sportsman Warehouse had changed their corporate, has changed their idea, instead of just letting veterans solicit in front of their store, because other groups in the community had complained, so they bumped us all out. So now we have to go find a new place to solicit our funds for the Rose of Sharon, which is a flower of South Korea. That's what we give out as donations. And from there, Dick has another little thing to do.
What's that?
I say you have another thing to do besides getting volunteers to join our organization. And a lot of people don't understand, when the veteran comes to our meeting, the wives are also able to come and join us. And what I also do is get a guest speaker that speaks about subjects from the county and the city that do things for free for veterans and for seniors. And then henceforth, we have a nice little thing going on every month. We were trying to think of something else that we can physically do to keep our membership going. We have about, 25 people that come every month. Now, total membership is basically how many, Dick? Do you remember?
Probably about 50 or so, but they don't show up. And every month we lose a few. They're in the hospital or they don't feel like coming up. And we actually have a call. I've divided all the members into six groups, and each board member is the responsibility to make a phone call, remind people, because people forget that they're meeting. So anyway, we have these call-up lists, and it's been working pretty well, but we usually have the same 20 or 22 people show up. And
well, at least you get 20 or 22. Sometimes it's hard getting 60
to
show up.
Yeah, we've been pretty consistent.
Okay, so how do people get a hold of you all if they're interested?
Yeah, you can give me a call. My phone number, my name is Dick Wilkinson. My phone number local, 530-246-9131. Or drop by my house. I live off South Bonnie with a big red barn. Just drop by and say hi.
Where all the lights are on. Do y'all have a Facebook page?
We don't have.
No.
That's one thing we haven't started
to do. You need to have somebody start you a Facebook page so it reaches a whole lot of people, you know, and link it in to the veterans, other veterans groups.
Well, maybe we ought to try to find a way to hook up with you and use that facility that you have to advertise our stuff.
Okay. I tell you what, Liam will help you all with a Facebook page, get you started. And get you on Facebook. And that way you can, you know, put your meetings out and you can be, you know, you friend other people and we'll friend you. And then when we see it, we'll send it out and reach thousands of people in the area that may want to become this. Once they understand it's just for all Korean veterans and their families. And it's not just Korean War veterans. I think that'll work. Anyway, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's our pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you, Carl, for allowing us this time.
Oh, you know what? Anytime, guys. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. You know, with fires and insurance being cut off and what's going on with the stock market, or should you be in the stock market? What about your 401ks, retirement plans? Maybe it's time for have somebody else take a look at it, another expert look at it. For a free review and evaluation, give Judy a call at 530-221-0441. She's been helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back.
Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
This Sunday, Lake Redding Park will be smoking as those crazy yellow-shirted Asphalt Cowboys fire up the barbecues for their annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Fundraiser. Partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tip or chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, and a beverage. Eat it there or use the convenient drive-thru. Place a bid at the annual live auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Tickets are $12 at the event or pre-purchase for $10 from any Asphalt Cowboy, Paint Marts at Redding and Anderson, or Lulu's Restaurant on Pine Street at Cypress Avenue. Lulu's serves great food and drinks at affordable prices 7 days a week. Soup, salad, sandwiches, steaks, seafood, and Italian dishes. Everything is made fresh daily at Lulu's. And you can order prime rib any time of the day, plus the very best Bloody Mary in town. Catering and banquet facilities are also available with customized menus to fit your budget. Join us this Sunday at Lake Redding Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Millions of dollars thrown away to get rid of a perfectly good voting system. Millions of dollars that could have gone toward opening the vacant floor of the jail. Millions that could have addressed Shasta County's real problems, such as mental health and homelessness. We taxpayers are paying through the nose, and we're paying attention. Not $1 more will be spent on frivolous trips to the MyPillow guy. Not $1 more will compromise our public safety. Recall Kevin Cry. Not $1 more. Paid for by the Committee to Recall Kevin Cry.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win! Win, win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Welcome back to 3-5 Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carlin Bott, she'll be in an Ohio here. She's doing things that we have to have happen around the house, and people come in early because it's still warm out there. But this portion of the show brought to you by NorCal Tractor and Equipment for all your Kubota needs. Whether you want to buy, lease, or just rent one for the day, they have it. Tractors, side-by-sides, backhoes, you name it. They got it from small to large. Located at 2540 Gateway Drive in Anderson. Give them a call at 530-221-6800. Okay. Jimmy Buffett passed this weekend.
Saw that.
Yeah. Also the front man for Smash.
Oh, I saw that too.
Yeah, he died also. We had an outage, a power outage in Reading. It was back up by 3, but it was out on Hilltop Drive. That's really rare that you get up.
Like in town?
In town, yeah. And the there's just, that is so rare. That is so rare out there. There's an urgent call for foster parents. And they are in, they've been on the show before, not that long ago. But they are really looking for families to help out. The need is greater than ever. So much that they're having to turn away placements for children because they don't have enough families. There's, you know, it must be, you know, it's tough finding somebody that wants to foster, you know, children. And a lot of times these children are not a problem. They're coming from a, you know, a home where something's happened with the parents, you know, parents on drugs or something. And the, we went out to Exodus Farms, which is a nonprofit that uses horses to reach to these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very successful. And kids come out there and once a week to ride the horses, and riding the horses in many cases are being led around, you know, this a big corral there. And but the teaching and the mentoring that goes on with the one that's leading the horse and the child is amazing. And they may all go out and walk down the road, the dirt road to the end of the road and come back. But these kids come in and the first thing they do is they start cleaning up things. You know, manuring the corrals, helping get the saddles out and all this. So, you know, they've got a little chore there. And then the foster parents who come in also help out with them. And kind of, you know, building bonds that way. But if you're interested in reaching out to these people and becoming a foster parent. Okay, well, never mind. It took me to a no page there, but this is out of the just Youth and Family Programs, and the number is 530-365-9197. Youth and Family Programs, Shasta County Foster Care. If you're, you know, if you want more information about this, this might be something to do. So, the you say you went out mountain bike riding.
I did. I spent the weekend in Mount Shasta and the trails. So, for folks who don't mountain bike, it's not super fun to mountain bike when the trails are dry because your brakes don't work. And so, you kind of just slip and you'll eat it, and it's not very fun. But we had that rain that came through, and I had a three-day weekend, and it was like, well, I'm going to go to Mount Shasta and mountain bike. So I did like 12 miles and like a couple thousand feet of climbing. And it was beautiful. It was the trails were smooth. They were rehydrated because the rain had come. It was just great. So I was out in the woods for a couple of hours. Just I fell a few times.
That's part of it. So if it's dry, your brakes don't work?
Yeah, because, I mean, you have, like, it's like almost, you have, like, the packed, because the soil's really packed, right? And then you'll have kind of, like,
yeah,
it's like someone sprinkled sand on top of, like, some really smooth asphalt or, like, concrete. And so, you know, you're flying down a hill and you're in a berm, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to pump your brakes in the berm, and if it's dry, your back tire will
just
fly out from underneath you.
Yeah. That's why when you're riding a motorcycle, when you're hitting your brakes, it's always the front brake. You never touch that rear brake until you really slow down, because that rear brake will do exactly that. Mm-hmm. And that rear tire locks, and it'll go one way or the other.
You can't hit your front brakes when mountain biking, because you'll go over the handlebars.
Okay, so you'll probably build a little bit different there that. Hey, there's a dog named Nero. It's a police dog. Belgian Malinois. He sniffed out a pill bottle in a plastic bag that contained meth residue. That allowed the police to get a search warrant and charge the driver with felony drug possession, because they went to his house. Turns out, though, that this went up to this was appealed up to the Idaho Supreme Court, because Nero placed his paws on the door.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know how the dogs just reach up, put his dogs in, and put his paws on the door, and stuck his nose in and sniffed. Whoa. That's against the Constitution, according, violated the Fourth Amendment prohibition on unreasonable searches. So this is heading for the Supreme Court. And this is one of the several to arrive at the Supreme Court. One of them when an officer approached a vehicle. Another case when the officer spotted a joint under a driver's seat after the car door was left open. And a third challenge is can San Diego chalk tires? So they're saying unlawful search and seizure, you chalked my tires. You had no reason to chalk my tires, mm-hmm, because I was still parked there legally. And they're saying is that the police suspected a guy growing marijuana in a fenced yard. So they just took the dog around the yard, and the dog alerted, you know, on the outside on the sidewalk. So anyway, that's going to be interesting. So if the dog put his paws on the car and then sniffed it. I love this. Anyway, they're all reaching the Supreme Court with all the things going on. But see, here, why is this important, unlawful search and seizure. I've been told for years that if you got a fence up, police can't just reach up and look over your fence. You have a right for them not to do that, to look in your backyard. I tell you what, Dr. Deloney has called in early. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break now. When we come back from the break, please explain to the good doctor that we got about 3 minutes here, and we'll bring him back right after the break.
Well, I keep on thinking about you, Sister Golden Hair Surprise, and I just can't live without you. Can't you see it?
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Fire up those taste buds, because Wind River Resort and Casino is teaming up with Friends of Whiskey Town to bring you the first annual
Beans and Brew.
Enjoy tastings of local chili recipes in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, October 21st. And vote for your favorite Beans and Brew. 50% of all proceeds will go to Friends of Whiskey Town. Tickets for this tasty event are just $20 plus fees. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. And find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Navarre. Today, the 6th of September, 7:32 in the morning, and 60 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. If you're not getting treatment for a work injury because of a denial, give Patrick Gorman a call at 530-262-2168. For a free consultation. This guy knows workers' compensation. He's worked not only for himself building the biggest workers' compensation office north of Sacramento, but he used to work for the insurance companies for a couple of years and left because he didn't like what he saw what was doing. So if you've got any questions, give him a call, 530-262-2168 today. On the line is Dr. John Deloney. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, sir. It's like baloney, except with a D. It was a pretty rough childhood.
You know, I read most of your book. I'm not going to lie and say I read it all. I don't want to cause anxiety to myself.
That's more than my wife read, man. I appreciate it.
The forward is, the fact are, this is from Dave Ramsey, the fact is that we are the most stressed out, anxiety-ridden, out-of-control culture in history. And the paradox is, we have the most prosperity we've ever had and shouldn't be worried. Most people don't have to worry about food, shelter, or clothing. Yet all the despair statistics are up. Suicide, depression, anxiety, everywhere we look. There are signs of anxiousness, and it's running too many people's lives. Is that true?
Broadly speaking, yeah. It's a mess out there. We have created a world that our bodies simply aren't designed to live in.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to start, you know, because your book begins with you and what you were going through. Can you give us a little background on what started you on? Because this is not your first book, and you've done a lot of research, but it started with you, if it sounded like.
Yeah, I mean, the short story is my dad was a homicide detective and a SWAT hostage negotiator, and he had three young kids, and he didn't make enough money in those jobs to put groceries on the table. We had a small, modest house, and we had one car that they shared. And then he became a minister. And again, some of those challenges continued. So I made a deal with myself at a young age. Public service means no groceries. And public service means no vacations. Public service means this. So I went the opposite way. And I ended up with two PhDs. I chased money. I chased titles. I chased any sort of recognition. To avoid it all. And here's the deal. I got it. And I ended up with more debt, with a house and cars and credit cards. I ended up with, I dug myself a deeper hole than my old man could have ever dug himself because I had a bigger shovel to do so. And I got what I wanted, man. I had a great marriage. I had a healthy kid. My wife was a rock star research professor. I had everything. And my body said, hey, we're out. And I was working 24/7. I was on call. I was always in hospitals with kids. I was doing death notifications with parents. I was doing all kinds of stuff, and I was not keeping track. And my body finally said, "Hey, you're not listening to us. We're out." And so that started me on my own. Hey, man, if this happens to me, I've got it all. My parents are still married. They've done 50 years. Right? My dad's a good man. My mom's a good woman. I've got a great partner in my life. If this happens to me. My goodness. And so it started me on a journey, man, and realizing our entire culture is designed for distraction. Our entire culture is designed for outsource. Our entire culture is designed for loneliness. And as Dave wrote in that forward, we've solved some of humanity's most pressing crisis, right? We got faucets in our house that water, clean water comes out of. We have pushed a button on our magic wand phone and food shows up on our front porch. We've solved the big one. And underneath it all, we've created a world that our bodies were never designed to live in, and they are falling apart underneath it.
You know, going through your book, you know, looking at different things, I mean, I could bring out parts all day long, but something about when you start worrying about something, then you start, as you call it, ruminating on it like a cow. You know, when it ruminates its cud. You know, it just goes back and forth, and it just goes like this. That people dwell on things and worry in this. It's just a waste of time.
Yeah, I think most of us. I mean, who hasn't spent time? And when I travel the country, most people will tell me it's in the shower. And I think that is one of the few moments we have left in our day that we don't have earphones shoved in our ears or some kid pulling on our pant leg or some spouse or boss nagging at us. But you're alone in the shower and you start having imaginary conversations with your boss, with your stepmom, with your mother-in-law, whoever, and you start having these imaginary conversations and your body, by the way, doesn't know the difference. And so it dumps all the adrenaline, cortisol, you're off to a fight and it's happening and happening. And here's the deal, that type of thinking, or when the grid goes down, I'm going to do this and this. By the way, you're going to do none of those things. I've been in some of those situations. You won't do any of those things, but it feels like you are dress rehearsing the next bad thing. It feels like productive good thinking. And it was a big light bulb for me when I realized, oh, rumination and worry is a complete and utter waste of my time. It sends me to an early grave, and it solves no problems in the real world. And so I began to challenge rumination, challenge worry, challenge thoughts by writing them down. And I don't engage to the best of my ability in imaginary conversations. And to somebody who struggles with this, it sounds impossible. I promise you. I keep a journal with me. And if you know the great Navy SEAL, Jocko, I asked him, like, hey, I need a cool name for this. And he's like, sorry, man, I can't help you because I don't want to call it my thoughts journal. But that's what it is. And when I start saying, you're the worst person, I mean, you're the worst parent ever. You're a terrible father. or if Dave Ramsey just tells me this, I'm going to tell that guy, you know what, I'm not going to tell Dave anything, actually. And so I write those things down, and I look at them, and I examine them for truth, and it just takes all the wind out of worry. And then it allows me to actually solve real problems in my life. Do I owe six figures in student loans? That's a real problem. That's not imaginary, ruminating worry. That's real. That's a real stress that we need to solve. And is my marriage falling apart? That's a real stress we need to dig into. And so it's really teaching your mind to separate this constant spin and spin and spin, which, by the way, chemically you can get addicted to, and what's an actual real threat in front of us. Here's another example. Does that neighbor who votes different than you, are they really hoping for the end of you or America or your schooling? I mean, really? And so let's dig into some of that. If you know that guy and had dinner with that guy, then you'd be able to answer that question instead of having some caricature. So it's just choosing. I'm going to regain control over my own.
What I'm taking from this doctor is there's truth and there's fantasy. And not fantasy, but there's.
Oh, it's fantasy. We call it fantasy sports, where grown men use other real grown men.
So here, and I think everybody stands in the shower and goes, well, you know what, I should have said, or you think about things because nobody's there to interrupt you. But it's being able to identify what's true and then what could be true is a big thing. I mean, or maybe false, just like you said. Is my next-door neighbor, because they vote this way, really want the end of the world? Of course not. When you think about it, no, of course they don't want the end of the world. So I understand that. Now, you explain that the word anxiety covers everything, all-inclusive. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, as an academic nerd, I used to try to fight it. So when someone say, I'm feeling anxious, I would say, well, actually, anxiety is a clinical diagnosis only to be diagnosed by, and it's become part of our vernacular. And so what I try to do in this book is to stop acting like a snob and stop acting like an academic nerd and simply say, as a culture, we use the word anxiety for everything, for burnout, for chronic stress, for regular stress, or exhaustion. We use it across the board. And so instead of isolating and trying to change everybody, I said, okay, I'm going to use your word with you. Here's what this actually is.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So what the word actually means. Does everybody experience anxiety? Except you're saying that's a clinical diagnosis.
Yeah, I mean, technically it is. It's a clinical diagnosis. And so I do not think that everybody experiences clinical levels of anxiety, no. I do believe, I think the last study I read said approximately 50%, and that is including burnout and this chronic stress. We're stressed all the time, and some form of anxiety. So the way I like to say it is about half of people experience some form of their body trying to say, hey, you're not safe. This trajectory is not sustainable. And then the other half is married to that half, right? So I think it is in every household, and I think it's in every work system, and it's in every political system, and it's in every relationship. And that was the whole purpose of this book.
How much does the media play into this, would you say?
I mean, if I'm being just as transparent as possible, the major media corporations are owned a publicly traded company. And publicly traded companies have one job. It's a fiduciary responsibility to make money. And you make money by getting attention. And you get attention by telling people things that are going to kill them or going to save them. And that's it. And so the responsibility to tell the truth has been replaced with the responsibility to make money. And so, yeah, I do think a constant, steady stream of not true news, and not true people who are like a talk show host would say, hey, this is just my opinion. You want to listen to me talk about things that the way I see the world? Come on. That's great. It's the things that dress themselves up as truth and fact. And you've probably seen it as well as I have, because I work in the media world, that it's a really haunting montage of different newscasters, TV newscasters across the country, all giving the exact same speech about how independent and local their news is. And it's a terrifying, it's almost like watching, it's like a straight out of a science fiction. But I think the constant, hey, there will be one murder covered in this news segment. And if you look closely, it's, you know, cop shooting or, you know, local robbery. Hey, that's in Minnesota, and I live in Houston. They will find one to put in front of you, and you get a steady dose of that over time. Your bell curve shifts to it's all coming down. And the vice versa. I went away from news forever. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't look at it. I wouldn't watch it. And then when I would hear about, you know, hey, there, this one city is being burned down, I thought, oh, there it goes again. Well, actually, it was pretty tough stuff going on in that city. So I think it can be both and, right? You can be a numbing agent or it can be a fight or flight agent. But I do think it plays a significant role in preventing people from being still. But it's not going to change. And so it's my job as the owner of these electronic devices to be an adult and control what I can control, which is the off button.
Yeah, because in your book you pointed out how you were just linked to your phone, and no matter what you were doing, you know, even when you get up in the middle of the night and start watching, you know, you're just hooked on it. So, hey, Dr. Deloney rhymes with baloney. I love that. Deloney, we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk about the 6 daily choices for a non-anxious life.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. you get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. You can hop into our chat room at KCNR1460.com on the webpage. 7:49 in the morning here on the 6th of September, 60 degrees out there. Our guest is Dr. John Deloney. I get 10 emails a week from different publishers pushing books, saying, are you interested in this and all that. When I saw this, though, I said, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, building a non-anxious life seemed very interesting to me. And I appreciate the fact that you wanted to come on the show, Dr. Deloney.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful, man.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's get down to it. You have 6 daily choices of a non-anxious life, and we got 10 minutes, so go for it. Yeah, solve all these anxiety problems in 10 minutes.
We'll do it. So, and I'm going to take 10 seconds and frame this up. We all have agreed that you can't brush your teeth so well on Monday morning that you don't have to do it again till Thursday. There's no workout you can do on the first day of the month that you don't have to work out for the rest of the month, and so on and so forth. And so, if we want to choose a life that is different, it's upstream from what culture is trying to shove us down, we have to make choices every day. The 6 choices are, and I'll do them quickly, is number 1, you have to choose reality. What's the state of your marriage? What's the state of your finances? What's the relationship you have with your kids, your boss? What is your financial situation? What is reality for you? And it's like starting, so many of us try to get well, and it's like running a marathon, but we don't even know where the starting line was. What is reality? How overweight are you? What's the state of things in your life? Number 2, connection. You cannot do life by yourself. We have the loneliest generation ever before in human history. We did it to ourselves. And connection is different than communication. We can communicate with everybody. I have 475,000 friends on Instagram that I can communicate with. I connect with my wife. I connect with my kids and my few friends. You have to have people in your life. And everyone says, oh, I like being by myself. Solitude is different than loneliness. And we are lonely. Even in a crowded room surrounded by people we love, we're lonely. The 3rd one is choose freedom. When your body recognizes that somebody else is running your life, whether that's your mortgage company, whether that's the car dealership, whether that's your boss, whether that's your mother-in-law, the soccer coach of your nonsensical travel sports team that you shoved your 7-year-old into, it will scream at you. It will sound every anxiety alarm you have because you're not free. Somebody else is driving your life. And if you owe money to somebody, your body will fail you if it lets you go into deep sleep or have intimate connection or have great presence at the dinner table. It would be failing you because it is under siege. Because if you say one wrong thing at work, they take your house away. Because you get fired and you can't make your payments and the bank takes your home back. Right? So our bodies are not designed for that. So where can you seek freedom? The 4th one is mindfulness. Whenever I say the word mindfulness, people always think of an old guy with a beard sitting on a cloud. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 2 words, awareness and curiosity. What that looks like in the real world is you and your wife have a hard conversation about towels, wet towels on the floor. And the next morning, you get up and you're racing around and your wife has left another wet towel on the floor. You can instantly default into some rage and anger, or you can be aware of it and curious. Hey, we just had this big talk last night, and I know she loves me. What in the world must have happened in her day that she left this towel on the floor? I'm going to pick up this towel, and I'm going to go grab the dishes. It's about being curious about why the guy cut you off in traffic and saying a prayer. I hope he makes it to the hospital before his wife passes. Instead of, he's doing drugs and trying to kill everybody. He's never going to know what your story about him is, but your body will. And one of those gives you a stroke, and one of those gives you peace, right? So it's about entering into the world, not seeking to blame and yell and scream and cast judgment on everybody, everything. It's about being aware and curious. I wonder why that politician keeps doing that. Because it looks to me like they're trying to kill everybody instead of just going to war. The fifth one is health and healing. If you start every day with three Monster energy drinks, or you have some childhood abuse and trauma or poverty, if you have hard things you need to deal with, your body's not going to let you rest until you process those. Some of those need to be done with a medical doctor. Some of those need to be done with a professional counselor. Some of that requires medication. Some of that requires lifting weights. Some of that requires movement. Whatever it is, you got to seek health and healing. An unwell body will not let you rest. And finally, and this is the most controversial one of all of these, unfortunately, is we've created a culture for the first time in human history that doesn't rely on something bigger than itself. In our culture, we don't worship God or a series of gods. We worship ourselves. And that leads us to a world where the most important thing is how we feel. And we say insane things like our truth, my truth, and your truth, which is those sentences don't even make sense. And so we begin to worship not feeling bad, which means we worship comfort over discomfort. And what the psychologists tell us and the physiologists tell us is the only real healing comes from the hard path. You don't go to the gym and take all the weights off the bar. So what does that mean upstream? That means the only way you can be non-anxious. And I'm not going to subscribe what you believe in. I'm a Christian guy, and that's the belief me and my family are a part of, belief system. You have to take a knee and say, there is something bigger than me at play here that I'm in service to. And when you do that, it lets your body rest. Whew, you drop your shoulders. You are no longer holding up the universe. And only then will your body begin to turn off these anxiety alarms. And if you make this a regular routine, it will begin over time. Your body will stop sounding those anxiety alarms all the time. And you'll be able to see real threats as they emerge, and create real paths for you and your family towards a healthy, whole alternative.
You know, we've been going through a lot of stress, anxiety maybe in our family. And I'm not a very religious person, but I did reach out. And I said, I know that you don't give us more than we can handle, but God, how much more? I mean, I must be a lot stronger than I think, because you keep adding. And things started happening that some people would say, wow, that worked out. And, you know, it gave a big sense of relief to me and to Linda on this.
Thank you for sharing that.
Well, but I don't usually share those things, but it did. Now, you've got a line in your book here. Our bodies are constantly solving for reality, even if we aren't. I love that. Does that mean your body is going to start telling you things like, don't do this, or you better sit down right now? Is there going, you know, your heart starts beating too fast? What does that mean?
No, it's a play on the line of the great book by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, The Body Keeps the Score. If you were abused as a kid, your body put a GPS pin in close, intimate relationships.
Uh-huh.
And when you get married and you start to let somebody into your heart, it will sound the alarm that this is going to get you hurt again.
Oh, okay.
Or if you owe $100,000 in student loans and $350,000 on your mortgage, your body would be failing you if it let you sleep all night. Because it knows that one wrong thing and you get fired, or one downtick in the economy, or one shareholder meeting, and you lose your job, which means your family's homeless. And so the body is keeping the score, whether you think, I've got a great deal on this new car, your body knows, oh, no. And so your body knows that you are 4 inches away from your wife on the couch, but y'all are 4,000 miles away from each other. Your body knows. And so choosing reality is choosing to head into that sometimes uncomfortable geography inside yourself or inside your marriage or inside your relationship with your kids and say, hey, where are we? And here's a weird thing. You mentioned it. We all go through gnarly seasons in our life.
Oh, yeah.
But I write about this in the book. I had a cousin who passed away a few months ago. And because I'd followed Dave Ramsey's plan 20 years ago, I bought tickets, airline tickets, on Southwest, and I didn't even look within our checking account because I knew we were okay. And my wife has a deal thing with Hotels.com, and she booked us a hotel room in this other city. And we flew down, and I got the privilege of having my heart broken and being very, very sad. But I was never anxious about how we were going to pay our bills. We have to go on this stupid thing. Who, yeah. What aunt or uncle do we have to stay with? Who's picking up the tab for dinner?
Doctor,
none of that was a part of it.
Doctor, I got to break in. We're running out of time. I want you. How do people get your book? How do they get a hold of it?
And then go to johndeloney.com or ramseysolutions.com. And again, I'm grateful for your honesty and grateful for your hospitality, man.
Well, I appreciate it. This is a good book, my friends. It's worth the buy. It's worth looking through here. And I appreciate you being on the show, Dr. Deloney, and please pass our best on to Dave Ramsey. He's been on our station now for, I don't know, 6-7 years. So it's a great show. A lot of people love it. Thank you very much for being with us.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The latest Russian attack has claimed at least 16 lives in a marketplace in eastern Ukraine. The country's prime minister says at least 31 others were wounded in the attack. Secretary of State Blinken, on a visit to Kiev, expected to announce another $1 billion plus in U.S. aid for Ukraine.
Blinken's trip aims to assess Ukraine's three-month-old counteroffensive and signal continued U.S. support for Kyiv's efforts to drive out the Kremlin's forces after 19 months of war. Some of Ukraine's Western allies have expressed concerns over the pace of the counteroffensive's progress. Washington officials say possible alternative export routes for Ukrainian grain will also be discussed following Russia's exit from the Black Sea Grain Initiative and its frequent bombardment of Ukraine port facilities. I'm Charles Villadesma.
His lawyers say there will be an appeal of former Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio's 22-year prison sentence for his role in the January 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol. Clearly, former President Trump doesn't think much of the special counsel, Jack Smith, prosecuting him for objecting to the outcome of the 2020 election.
Look at his record. Look at what he did with Bob McDonnell. Look at his record. What happened to him? He's been overturned by the United States Supreme Court unanimously, etc.
Mr. Trump speaking with the Salem Radio Network's Hugh Hewitt. Tropical Storm Lee, far out in the Atlantic, expected to achieve hurricane status by the weekend, but right now it is quite far away, roughly midway between Africa and the Lesser Antilles. Still too early to say whether it will eventually impact the east coast of the U.S. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 183 points, the Nasdaq off 157, the S&P is down 37 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Donald Trump's indictment proves that saving America is not going to be easy. There are entrenched powers that are fighting this with everything they've got. They want to keep control over the country, the narrative, and the nation's money supply. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnau. I'm a news analyst, a Christian author, an evangelical leader. I speak to millions of people every week, people just like you. You see, what the elites are doing is using inflation and government handouts and now central bank digital currencies to determine how they're going to control America. And that's why I recommend all Christians start a gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. Because physical precious metals are one of the few ways you can maintain control over your own savings. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and you'll see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached. Text the word FAITH to 989898 and you're going to be blessed by taking action right now.
One of the European Union's highest courts dismissing a claim for damages against the bloc's border agency by a family of Syrian asylum seekers deported from Greece.
The Syrian family, which included four small children, arrived in Greece in October 2016. But 11 days later, they were put on a plane to Turkey by Frontex and the Greek authorities without having been able to apply for asylum. Their lawyers argued that Frontex was accountable. But the court dismissed that. It said Frontex's task was only to provide technical and operational support to EU member states. It said EU member states alone were competent to assess return decisions and examine options for international protection.
The BBC's Bethany Bell. The UN Migration Agency says more than 5 million people have now been displaced by the months-long fighting still going on in Sudan. News and analysis, townhall.com. Well, although this feline may have used up one of his 9 lives, at least he's back home with his family.
You can now refer to Leo the cat as Lucky Leo. He was reunited with his owners in Juneau, Alaska, 26 days after the family's house fell into a swollen river during a glacial outburst flood in early August. Cat owners Elizabeth Wilkins and Tom Schwartz were in Oregon on a mountain biking trip at the time. They lost most of their possessions, but someone posted a photo of Leo on a local Facebook page. Wilkins immediately knew it was the COVID kitten they had rescued in 2020. Wilkins says Leo was a little thinner, but otherwise fine. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
New study finds most major automakers admit they may be selling your personal data. Half saying they will share it with the government or law enforcement agencies without a court order. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, we're streaming live all over the world at KCNR1460.com, and you can go to our website at KCNR1460.com, and I would say you could hop in the chat room, but we've completely overrun the chat room again.
Oh,
today.
Wow. Well, we've got a big lineup here coming up
today.
Right now in the studio. We've got three heads of state.
Kind of. Well, I tell you what, I would not mind if these three
ran
the state.
Reading.
California.
Ran the state.
Well, they run Reading. No, I'm serious.
Yeah. These are three gentlemen that we totally respect and have great heads on their shoulders.
Today is the 6th of September, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here, and you have the news.
I try not to get too personal with my opinion, but there you go. All right. Well, this is something I can't have an opinion about, but I can certainly read it, and that's today we have sunny skies with our temperatures going up to about 90 degrees with mostly clear skies overnight. Lows of 63. Our Thursday calls for sunny with a high of 89. Thursday night, mostly clear with overnight lows of 63. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 90. Now, it looks like we don't really have big winds or anything like that, but as we progress, Saturday 91 and Sunday will be 94. It feels like it's humid today, but it looks like we have about 41% of humidity in the UV index of 7 out of 11. Now, I know for some people who are listening to the weather, what does that mean? I don't know. But I thought I'd just throw another number at you on this Wednesday morning. Again, today will be about 91. And
means you can get sunburned.
Absolutely. And tonight, again, will be overnight lows of 62. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our friends in Anderson, a veteran-owned business, locally owned and operated with senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
Last Tuesday, we had Jason Miller on, owner of Lucky Miller's. And he's just had enough. His cameras go off 70 something times a night. He just turns them off. He can't sleep at night. And the show was about how he felt like he and other businesses were under siege. That it's every day, day after day after day. And, people calling in, the whole show was calling in and all that. And so after the show, I reached out to our city with an email. And today, it's regularly scheduled that the Reading Police Department comes on. But then Mayor DeQuisto.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Came along. And then Reading City Manager Barry Tippin.
Morning.
And, of course, Reading Police Chief Bill Schuller.
Hi there.
Hey, buddy.
Thanks for being with us this morning.
I'm just going to kind of throw this. The one thing that Jason said, he had nothing but accolades for the police. Working, you know, I mean, he's sitting there at Cypress Square in between like three major
We're talking about homeless. Jason. Let's just go backwards. Jason is the owner of
Lucky Miller's.
Okay.
In the Cypress Square Shopping Center. They're kind of like in the middle of like two, maybe three major encampments. And he says, please go down there, clean them up. They're back that day. They start coming back in as soon as all the garbage is gone. So I guess I'm throwing it out to you all is what can be done to help our businesses? Don't be afraid to jump in.
Where should we start?
Let's let Bill start.
Okay. So, yeah, it's Sand Mountain down there. We're constantly trying to move camps, trying to get people out of there and enforce the law the best we can. So we have Parkview Park area that we try and keep cleaned up. Our park rangers are doing a great job trying to keep that cleaned up and moving along. We have areas along the river that they also camp at. And then there's
Cypress Street Bridge.
Yeah, underneath the Cypress Street Bridge.
Behind the car wash?
Yeah, exactly. And so when we clean up one camp, yes, they go to other camps. What we're trying to do down there right now is to try and basically tag all of them at the same time, and so that they're required to move away from that area completely. And then right now I have my graveyard units are going through there every night. We've been arresting people over the last few weeks. We have been keeping that park cleaned out at night, doing everything we can. But what happens when we do that is those folks move somewhere else in town. So now we might be able to help the businesses at Cypress Square, but now they're going to be over on Hilltop, or you've seen them migrating east on Cypress. And it's just a constant battle that we're going through every single day. You know, I've talked to you about it many times about how much trash we clean up and how many people we...
Thousands of tons.
Right.
That's tons, my friends. Thousands of tons of trash.
On the flip side of that, we are also making headway with some of the folks that are homeless and getting those folks into treatment and housing. And I'll pull up the number here in a second from CERT. But, yeah, we are making headways in that area as well. You can't arrest your way out of this. And certainly, as you and I have talked about, the jail is at capacity at its two-thirds level. And we can't arrest people and book them for camping. We just can't. So we have to be creative with the way we address this.
So, Mayor, the police are pushing them as much as they can with the people they have.
I agree. The police are doing as good a job as they can do within the confines of the law.
So do we – I've heard things like, why don't we have a big camping area that we can move them to?
Well – If you look at a big what's your goal, and this might not be popular, it'd be popular with some people, the way you phrase it, the goal is to make the, for lack of a better phrase, the homeless group, and it's a bunch of different people in the group, to make it so they don't want to stay in Reading, to make it uncomfortable for them. Like you make it uncomfortable in front of your business so they don't lie in front of you. You put sprinklers out there. You do things like that to make it uncomfortable for them. One thought that I've had, and people laugh and smile, and it's a serious thought. If you booked them instead of at the jail, but built a booking center out at the border of Trinity County, but still in Shasta County, and put a couple trailers up on some property out there, and took them out there, booked them, and gave them a sign to release and appear in court, because that's what most of these offenses are for. I'll bet you a good number, the word would get out fairly quickly, that if you get arrested in Reading for anything, and you get booked out there, you don't want to have to walk back to town 25 miles or 30 miles or 40 miles.
So now, my question, go ahead, I'm finished on that thought, because I have a question that popped up right then.
Would you get sued? Probably.
That's what I was going to go. That's where I was going to go.
Does it violate some law? I don't think so, but it might. But if it's a risk-reward analysis. I've been on the council for 5 years, and we haven't done squat. I mean, we've tried.
You've tried.
But I don't think the problem is any better. Just by looking at it. So try something else. And if you get sued, you get sued. And if you lose, you lose. Then you try something else. Otherwise, you just sit around twiddling your thumbs and not doing anything.
It may make news, too, that, enough is enough. And, here's an attempt to somewhat of an intermediary solution. In other words, like you said, I mean, at this place that we are, we've experienced this ourselves. Everybody's so happy. So at least it's an action that you're trying to do to alleviate. If you're going to be wanting to be a strong community, there has to be some kind of movement. We can see what is happening is book release, book release, book release. I mean, when somebody's saying that they come out and they just haven't even gotten back to the patrol car, and that person that has been booked is back out before he can even get back into his car. That
and he asked for a ride back.
Yeah, there's something that's
that was
just...
my favorite part.
So, Michael, I can visualize that, and I could see that as well, and that it makes it not so easy to get back into town.
Okay, we have our first question. Liam.
Is there a unification between our local organizations where, like, there's, like, weekly sit-downs or monthly sit-downs setting, like, goals and
are they working together?
Are they working together?
Right.
And what does the framework for them working together look like?
Barry?
So that's a great question. And I would say yes with a caveat, and that is, you know, recently the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency has decided they no longer wanted to be the lead agency for what's called our continuum of care. Our continuum of care is a required body by the federal government to disperse funds that are received from the state and from the federal sources for dealing with homeless people, dealing with individuals' mental health problems, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's a little bit in chaos at the moment because when we work with a 7-county consortium. And so when we received a 60-day notice from Shasta County, they no longer wanted to participate as a lead agency. Something has to happen. And so right now the city of Reading has stepped up and said, we'll agree to do this for a couple of years to see how it can work out and see what we need to do. But at the same time, all the legislative bodies around here, Anderson, Shasta Lake, Reading, and the county have put together an ad hoc group of elected officials, the city managers, the CEO, as well as the director of Health and Human Services Agency, to attempt to find an action plan that's collaborated and coordinated so that the money that we spend on this situation is money that is complementary to one another. In other words, instead of doing, you know, requests for proposals for any and all services associated with people who are experiencing homelessness, let's do a plan that actually directs that fund more precisely so that we can, you know, maybe create a day center, maybe create additional emergency shelters. But that takes time as well, right? So there's been 3 meetings of that group. Hopefully we'll have some tangible information and action plans by the end of this calendar year. And by that time, the city of Reading will have established itself a little more as the lead agency for the continuum of care, and hopefully we can begin to make some progress.
We do have to take a break, but one more time before we do take that break, you called it 7?
7 counties. It's a consortium, so it's Siskiyou, Modoc, Plumas, Sierra, Shasta, Lassen. So we have a 7-county consortium that works as the continuum of care.
That needs a leader in it, or somebody
that needs a leader, because Shasta County gave a 60-day okay. notice that they're quitting.
Okay.
So we've had to pick up those pieces.
Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, locally owned, locally operated, been in the business 16 years, 4 branches, 1 in Red Bluff, 2 right here in Reading, 1 down in Anderson. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
Participants to join us for our first annual Beans and Brew Chili Cook-Off. This event will take place in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, October 21st. For more information on the Chili Cook-Off, contact Group Sales at 530-339-7412 or email events at windriver.com. Participants must register before Saturday, September 30th to be eligible to participate in the Chili Cook-Off. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Come join Reading Electric Utility in celebrating Public Power Week on Friday, October 6th. This year's free family events will be held in downtown Reading on the Market Street block. There will be electric safety demonstrations, bucket truck rides, police and fire demonstrations, and free treats. This event will include energy-efficient raffle prizes, including a new e-bike. Come join this celebration on Friday, October 6th from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. For more information, call 339-7300 or visit our Facebook page at Reading Electric Utility.
Hey, what's going on in Reading, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Mundabach. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody does better windshield repairs than Jeff Wurst. He's been doing this for a couple of decades. Doesn't take chances with your safety. For a free inspection and analysis, bring your vehicle, car, truck, or SUV, I'm sorry, RV, down to 3208 South Market Street, or give them a call at 530-241-8373. Locally owned, locally operated, a veteran-owned business. We're here with Mayor Michael DeQuisto, Chief Bill Schuler, and Reading City Manager Barry Tippin. We're talking about problems with homelessness, homelessness crime. And part of it was the continuum of care, which was run by the county, and then with 60 days notice said we're no longer going to do this. So everything is in a real flux there, because this is, as Chief Schuler pointed out, is a multifaceted problem we have. It's just not the it's not just the homeless, it's the criminals among the homeless. And some people want housing. They want the help. They'll accept the help, but some won't. We don't have any room in the jail. 120 beds. Would that make a difference?
Of course it would. I mean, you look at our point in time count, and you look at the amount of folks that we arrest over and over again, and we're arresting the same 500 people over and over again. So you take 120 of those and get them off the streets, you've 20% reduction in crime right there, just like that.
Just like that.
Just like that.
And we can
we
hold
had a,
them.
And we had a good and we had a good program in place for a while where we had this habitual offender program, so we could we could, with the DA's cooperation in the jail, we could select these folks that are repeat offenders over and over and over and over again. And then the courts and the DA, everyone would hold this person in custody. And we resolved a lot of cases that way, a lot of serial cases that way. And it'd be great to get that back. Just imagine if we took 20 of those 120 beds, and these were for serial offenders that they just did not get out. Right?
Can I propose a question here for the three of you? Is it possible, the first thing I go to, and it may sound a Pollyanna, but is there a possibility that we could do the your branches of what you represent and do a public workshop with the intention at the end that people would be selected for a position that they were going to, with a new idea, with a new program that would be specifically for this. Now, it could either be something that would be a grant and or, a civic duty time, but they would have to answer to this body. But they would then, this project would be, because a lot of times you guys are doing something in department. The project would be something what Michael did, something to implement getting people off the street. If the government is moving at a certain point and there's not funds, we've got to get together. And sometimes what's happening within your departments, you guys are so busy, the layman on the street doesn't know. They're feeling helpless. And maybe there could be a body of people, like I said, in a workshop, four people that are given the authority after they've gone through this workshop about what they can do with some kind of a solution, something intermediary, why we're waiting for everything because people have pulled out from Shasta County, all of that stuff right now that can happen in the next 3 months.
Is that happening?
Well,
something like that that tells people, hey, this is what we're doing. I mean, you're coming on the show today is a big thing. In the paper, trying to explain this.
There's a lot of agencies who are proactive out there. The city partnered with United Way on the micro shelters down off of behind the Robba station off of South Market Street. St. James is doing the same. They're building four different shelters. They're doing outreach program. The Mission is doing a significant amount. So there are a lot of nonprofits in particular who are doing a lot of outreach in addition to what we do with CERT and Connected with No Boundaries. So there is a lot of that that's going on, and I think that goes back to this group of elected officials that we are calling this ad hoc. You know, maybe it's there's a program statewide called At Home that's being pushed by counties out there. And so locally, when we did this ad hoc, we're referring to it as At Home Shasta. And the reason we're doing that is because it hasn't got off the dime from a statewide perspective, but there's a lot of good elements in that that we think we can do here. But we need to get everybody on the same page with how this money is being spent so it's targeted in a way that's going to be the most effective. And that hasn't happened in the past. And so, like I said, by the end of this calendar year, hopefully we'll have some elements of that can kind of come together. Then we'll have grant money that will be pushed out in a very directive way so that people, nonprofits in particular, can apply for those funding, and then they have to develop their programs to meet these needs. And some of the most immediate needs are like a day center, a navigation center, because if anybody has tried to understand how to navigate through these homeless prevention programs, it's really difficult. There's a lot of pieces and parts, and you have to have ID, and you have to have all this other these other elements in place. And that's one of the things that our housing department helps CERT, navigate all that so that we can get those people off of the streets and into an area where they have help. But we also need more emergency shelter space. Like I said, I just named a few that are working on, but that's going to be a total of like 30 little shelters. The Mission has quite a few shelter beds, but there's a lot of people that won't go there for various reasons. Or they have the 30-day in, 30-day out rule, and so they might be on their 30-day out. So we need additional emergency shelter space where people can go, feel safe, feel they can have their belongings locked up and safe so it doesn't get stolen, so they can begin to navigate a change in their life. And those are things that everybody kind of agrees with. But we have to get the system in place, and it's going to take a little bit of time to do that.
Mayor DeCristo.
That just deals with part of the problem. But it's like Bill says, It's like the elephant in the room, and everybody, the blind men touch it, and one feels a tusk, and one feels a leg, and one feels a tail, and they all feel three different things, but it's the same elephant. So that takes care of part of it, but that doesn't deal with the vagrants and the people that don't want to comply. The people that say, I'm not going to the mission because they have rules. I don't want to follow the rules. You can't make me. And that's the, I think that's the heart of the problem, and it's the hardest part to go deal with.
Yeah, the way I always say it is that we have to equal parts accountability and assistance. And the law really requires that we have that as well. So we really need to be approaching that from a holistic perspective. And that hasn't been done that well in the past. We've mostly done either accountability or assistance. We haven't made them cohesive. And, you know, frankly, people don't like me when I say this, but it's our own fault. I mean, we spent years being the first or second highest county for incarcerations in California. So, you know, we use three strikes, you're outlaws. We put more people in prison per capita than any other county other than, I think, Inyo. All these other counties who are working on various programs over the years, we weren't. So when the state changed all the laws, half of which were changed by the voters through proposition, not by the legislature, we're behind the eight ball. So we're working to try to solve this problem. But frankly, this community helped create this problem, and this community is going to have to help solve it. And that's just the reality of the history of where we've been. And we need to know our history so that we can fix it going forward.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. It's a veteran-owned business, been there for, 30 years. They have discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments. Give them a call at 530-244-9478. And that doesn't mean you can't walk in. There's an opening. Just hop in. It's Man's Last Stronghold, the only place I've had my hair cut since I've lived in Redding. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Mendebot. Good morning, everybody. Sunday, September 10th at the Lake Redding Park. 69th Annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue. For more information, go to asphaltcowboys.org. We're here with Mayor Mike DeCristo, Reading Police Chief Bill Schuller, and Barry Tippin, Reading CEO, City Manager, I should say. And we're talking about crime, homelessness, and we're behind the eight ball. As Barry said, and Mr. Tippin said, that for a long time we led the state in arrest and locking them up, but we didn't plan for what happens if things changed, and things did change. But here's the question. I'm a small business. I'm in Cypress Square. My customers are afraid to come in. I've got people coming in trying to steal things out of my store. I'm concerned that if I do anything, they're going to turn around and sue me. The state's trying to make a law that says you train your people to not interfere or something like this, a new law. What did they do? I mean, Chief, nobody's complaining about the police, but what do I do as a business owner?
Well, it's crime prevention through environmental design. It's trying to make your business not the easiest place to break into and steal from. Cameras, it's fortifying your entrances and exits. It's being really aggressive is not the word I'm looking for, but when you're open and you don't have to serve everybody that walks through your door. So if you have somebody come in your door that is you don't want them there, don't let them be in your business. You don't have to let them in your business. If someone's stealing from you, you have the right to detain them. I know a lot of businesses don't want to do that. The major corporations refuse to do that because they're worried about being sued. But we will respond if you have somebody that is stealing from you and you catch them and you can detain them. I would be careful, cognizant about, you don't want to beat them up because there is that liability there. But you do have the right to do that. But again, it's just about making your business protecting yourself because we can't be there 24/7 to do that for you. But if you have a burglar alarm, if you have cameras, every day we have pictures going through our email of suspects who are committed thefts. And we identify them almost every single day because our patrol officers know who these guys are. And so then we can get warrants for them and we can get them arrested. So that's the best way to do it. Have good video surveillance so we know who's coming and going, who's stealing from you.
Here's a non-political answer. And I saw this on one of the websites. A business owner, presumably in California, priced every item in his or her store at $951. So if you take an item and you steal it, you've stolen more than $950 and you can get arrested for it. If you want to buy the tube of toothpaste and you go to the register, you get a discount from the $950 to whatever it is and you pay the price. Now, that's a non-politician's answer. I don't know if it would hold up in court or not hold up in court. You still have the issue of the police have to come and arrest the person. You got to deal with all the follow-up on that. But it's a way to try to deal with the existing laws because we're hamstrung by the laws from the state. Yeah. And until we get enough voting power in the North State, which God knows when that'll be, probably not in anybody's lifetime in this room, you can't change it. You're just stuck with it. And they do even crazier laws like Carl just said, where they're trying to say your employees can't fight anybody and can't keep it safe and do that. I mean, it's nuts. And the problem is going to be, and Bill probably doesn't want to acknowledge it, but I think it's true, the longer it goes and the worse it gets, the more likely you will have some vigilantism or you'll have somebody that will get mad and they'll shoot somebody. And somebody get killed. And the next thing you know, there'll be a lawsuit, or they'll go to Stephanie Bridget and go, "What are you going to prosecute?" And it'll be national news about was it justified, was it this and was it that. Everybody wants to avoid that. Nobody wants that to happen. But if the government is not seen as making things safe, what's the next logical step? Either that, or they close the business and they just leave. Neither one is good for the city.
Which, according to Jason Miller, he's had 150, 200 businesses approach him. Many businesses are on that brink, one way or the other. They're getting older. Should I retire or not? But their business is constantly under siege there. And it may not be every day, but it's the threat of every day. That it's easier just to, I'm pulling a plug. Well, even though we have other businesses starting around here, thank God. But, am I making this too much of a thing, or is this something that you're hearing? I mean, if this is, well, yeah, but it's not as bad as it could be, tell me that.
I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know that that's true. I think, as Bill mentioned earlier, it rotates, right, based on where presence, and so individuals move around town, and so, you know, you might get a reprieve for a while, but sooner or later, it's probably going to come back around, and until there's changes, particularly in the accountability portion, because we're moving towards changes on the assistance side. We need to have those changes for accountability, and that has to happen locally with either, you know, navigation centers or something that assists people, or with jail space, right? A new jail, or just open up the one we have all the way up. But also at the state level, it has to change. I mean, I mentioned the voters, but it was Prop 47, Prop 57, which people have probably heard about over and over again, and you can read about it, and you can,
safe streets and schools.
Yeah, it's, you know, the title was ridiculous. But you're also seeing some movement at some of the big cities that this has to stop. So, you know, the one I point to is, you know, if you're going to recall a DA in San Francisco for what's going on, then things are slowly starting to change. But somebody's got to come forward with a proposition change, because, you know, the only way to really change a proposition is through another proposition, right? Unless you have like a 2/3 of the legislature, which I don't think you're going to get. So really, the people need to make a change, and that's not an easy process.
No, we had somebody that we know that was very, very frustrated, really worked for a bill here, and to get it on, and didn't do very well with it, so got so frustrated with it, went to law school so we could understand that. And you know this, Michael, being the successful attorney that you've been, that a lot of times through advertising and publicity, you can turn a yes to a no, and you've already brainwashed, or that whoever's advertising, paying for the advocate, can brainwash the people that they vote yes on a certain proposition or a bill, that really it's a no for the yes. And people don't know that because they don't do the hard work or read the fine lines. And it's worded in a weird way.
Well, they make crazy titles like Save the Schools. It has nothing to do with saving the schools. But they just call it that. And so then all the advertisements go, well, you want to save the schools? Vote yes. But if you actually try to read the actual language and what it goes and does, doesn't talk about anything about schools. It talks about something else, but they just call it that. And it's hard because people don't want to spend the time, or they can't spend the time to look at it, you know, and really make a conscious decision. And even so, if you're not a lawyer and you read it, you go, what the hell does this say? I don't understand this. Right. Section A and Section D, and look back at this and look at that. It's complicated. It's very complicated.
Years ago, we had a program here in town where people were given bus tickets and food tickets. And we sent them to, quote, families someplace else in the United States. I don't understand, you know, why we have to send them to families if we could get people that would volunteer to leave if we paid their way out of here.
That Journey Home program is still in place at the mission.
Is it?
So we can still do that. If we find somebody on the streets that needs to get home to their family, or we can send them to someplace where there's somebody on the other side to help them, then we can do that still. CERT can work with a mission to make that happen. But imagine if people were doing that to us. So it flipped the coin, and San Francisco is putting people on Greyhound buses and dropping them off in Reading. How do you think we would react? So we don't want to do the same thing to other cities. We want to make sure those folks have somebody on the other side to help take care of them, and they're not becoming a burden on the city of whatever. So that's how that works.
I would disagree
Miami,
with that. That's the way life goes. Send them and get them the hell out of here. The sanctuary cities do it. It's a sanctuary city. Make them sign a release where so you're not kidnapping them or taking them off somewhere. Make them sign a release and get them out of here, and maybe they'll get more benefits somewhere else. Does it solve the underlying big problem? No, because the person is still a drain on society. Does it help the city of Reading? Yes, because it gets them out of town. And so, that's partly our job. But there's an honest disagreement over what you go and how you go do that.
So if we had a place, say, the size of the old Costco, to be used as a, you know, like one safe place, put everything under one roof, that you could put all these helping and all these aids under one roof, but also have tons of space to put people in.
We need a minimum security facility right now, 500 beds.
Minimum security. I mean, somebody's got to be watching them.
Yeah, we have, right, but it doesn't require the same structure as like the jail, but 500 beds, minimum security, and then you have all the resources there as well. You have HHSA, you have mental health, you have drug and alcohol treatment, job training, all of those things there. So you're holding people accountable, right, for the misdemeanor crimes that they're committing, these low-level offenses, and then they can get treated, and once they get out, they're into housing, they're starting their life, and we're not keep completing this cycle over and over again.
Is that a county thing?
That's a county thing.
That's a county thing.
Have we? Has there been a figure that, you know, we have all these fundraisers for so many things. Has there been a figure that if you had a 500-bed facility with all of the, you know, the different agencies you're talking about, what would that cost-ish?
I don't know. I'm not an expert in that kind of, in the creation of custody facilities.
But that's like getting permission to build a jail. I mean, because it's
but a jail, it's less
because it's minimum facility, nobody in there that's violent and all this.
Right, you keep the downtown jail for now.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be money to build a huge jail like we're talking about.
Yeah.
But we have you take a space out on Breslauer right now where the farm is, and you put a minimum security facility right there.
I like it because most of the people that would be in this, they're the ones that do petty crimes or they've got a mental problem.
You're talking about drug and right. Substance abuse is the major part of it, which is a misdemeanor under Prop 47 now. So we can't even arrest people for that. It's a citation. So substance abuse is a big part of it. And then they, in order to continue to manage their substance abuse problem, they're stealing from people. That's what they do.
Okay. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. 8:45 in the morning here.
Attention, Wind River Resort and Casino guests. We are excited to announce Seasons is now open daily. We are offering daily specials including Taco Tuesdays, Build Your Own Pasta Wednesdays, T-Bone Topper Thursday, and more. Sunday brunch will also return to Seasons and be available from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. For all daily hours and menu details, download the Wind River app or see windriver.com and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
I'm Dr. David Nicholas, President of Shasta Bible College and Graduate School in Redding, California. We're excited about the beginning of school. It begins September 5th, and we're rolling out a new program, a Master of Arts degree in chaplaincy. With me here is the head of that program, Dr. Jane D'Angelo.
That's right, Dr. Nicholas, and I'm so excited for this program because it's designed to be completed in 24 months. It's a 36-unit course, and I know that we have one of the most affordable programs in the United States. We have some wonderful classes planned for students, such as Theology of Suffering, Crisis Care and Counseling, Ministry Resilience, and Grief Support and Caring for the Dying and Bereaved.
Now tell us, Dr. D'Angelo, what kind of chaplaincy are we talking about?
So the program has been designed to train chaplains in a variety of areas, such as hospitals, hospice, VA centers, colleges. I also want to encourage anyone in the church who wants to know more about lay chaplaincy in their church to come and join us in the fall.
Interested? Give us a call today at 530-221-4275.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they keep her online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
And good morning. Hey, how you guys doing? Which is up to 90 degrees. It's going to be sunny today, and that will be our high temp with overnight lows of 63. Tomorrow calls for 89 clear skies, mostly clear, overnight 63. As we progress through the week, I can't even believe it. We are on hump day, actually. Friday, 89, and Saturday looks like 91. Sunny, beautiful week ahead of us. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. All right.
Okay, we're here with Reading Police Chief Bill Schuler, Mayor Mike DeQuisto, and Reading City Manager Barry Tippin. And what we've heard is kind of like there's not too much we can do. I mean, because this is a long-term problem. But we've seen this happening for how long? 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Oh, at least.
At least, maybe longer. I mean, we move them around. Nobody's saying anything. You know, the police are out there moving them. The city's collecting thousands of tons of trash. Part of it is because of props, 47, 57. So there's no short-term solution is what I'm hearing.
No, but it really started with AB 109, yeah, with the realignment. Oh, yeah. So that's really when it started, because the state lost their lawsuit with the feds in terms of ADA issues. And instead of dealing with their issues, the state decided to push all of the issues on to the counties. And they've been doing that since about 2006 on various things. They canceled our redevelopment agency. They pushed, you know, all these prisoners onto the county. And so the state has made a living, if you will, off of pushing expenses onto the counties. And I think what you're seeing at the state level is one of the reasons why they have all this grant money flowing is because they understand that they screwed up. But they're not going to reverse it. They're just going to give a bunch of grant money with a whole bunch of strings attached to try to control what we do and don't do, as opposed to going back to what it was, which is let the local money stay local and let us decide how the best to deal with the issue. And we're not going to see that, but that's how long it's been going on, really.
Yeah. Somebody, one of the guests on our show yesterday, rode his bike into work and said, you know, I'm seeing fences everywhere. Are we going to become a city of fences?
We got a bunch right now.
We are. Can you put a fence around your business? That's the hard thing.
I mean, a lot of them do.
Yeah, I just need to say you need to work with planning, because there are zoning requirements and this, that, and the other thing, and you don't want to get to a situation where you spend money to build a fence and it's violation of zoning codes and so on and so forth, and you have a visit from code enforcement. So there are opportunities to do that, but you need to work with our development services department to make sure that you're, you know, doing everything right.
The point that I think wasn't like, can you build a fence? It's that we're building fences around ourselves rather than
bridges.
To keep ourselves in rather than, I mean, to keep people out. And there's a sadness of that you've got to build a fence, because that's not Shasta County. That's not why we moved here. That's not who we are. That's Portland. That's San Francisco. But that's not Shasta County. That's not Redding or Anderson.
We've got 8 minutes left. So,
let me try.
Because I was going to give you all the last thoughts here.
Here's a thought from the mayor, who doesn't have to be completely politically correct. It seems to me the biggest, quickest solution that we could do to help is to reopen the jail floor and to find a way to go do that. In addition, the jail has got some other limited capacity because of a court order. And if somebody went back and found the court order, you can always go back and try to modify it and go to the judge and go, you know, you cut us off of 10% of our beds. We need that back because of these conditions. The worst that happens, the judge says no. It's a simple, straightforward hearing. It's not a big deal. So it wouldn't give you a lot more, but it would give you some more.
That's a plan of action.
So that's something that you could go mm-hmm. do. The county would have to do that because mm-hmm. presumably they're the parties to the lawsuit. So it seems to me on the jail floor, the simplest way and the easiest way to do it, and I'm not the sheriff, would be for the sheriff, and it avoids all the labor union problems, is for the sheriff to have the deputies come back and staff the jail. To the extent the deputies are moved from like Shingletown or places where they have patrol areas,
Burney
and things like that, you can contract with the CHP to patrol those areas. The county could do that. And then I believe that the city of Redding and the city of Anderson have indicated a willingness to extend their patrol areas to maybe Palo Cedro or the South County or Happy Valley, some of that, for certain kinds of calls to help out with the county. So it seems to me that's a viable, readily, relatively quick solution. It avoids the union problems, and it avoids all the infighting and the complaints among the different agencies, because the people, it doesn't help the people to keep the jail floor closed.
So what's the first step in the three-pronged scenario you just presented? First step.
The biggest step would be to get the sheriff on board to say he would propose that, he would agree to do that. As a practical matter, that's the biggest step, because the last proposal that he made didn't go over very well, which was basically all these other agencies, you help me out and give me one officer, two officers, or CSOs or something like that, and that went over like a lead balloon. So
it went down in flames.
So okay. We need something else. Otherwise, you just sit and nothing happens, and that's not good for the community.
Barry?
Well, I look at the longer term, you know, because, yeah, that's necessary. But we need several things here. We need to get this collaboration going with all these services. We need to be dedicating people to look at a plan and develop a plan that makes all these funding sources received from the state and federal government work together better, so that we have coordinated, collaborated efforts, so that we can make sure that people are going from homeless to homed, right? And we have a journey for that to happen while we're holding people accountable. And that's what this ad hoc committee is doing. And I'm hopeful that we can get that underway. And, you know, at some point in time, we have to figure that we're going to have to assist, meaning the community is going to have to assist the county pay for a new jail. There is not enough funding in this community or in the state of California to open that up. If we want a new jail, if we want all these facilities, well, there has to be a tax.
Then that was what I was going to ask. Would you support a tax increase to build the jail, or, frankly, the minimum security facility seems like it would give us even more bang for our buck, because you would take people out of the jail and put them in there.
As a city manager, I don't support or not support.
Right.
I'm just telling you what the facts are.
I just meant
as a voter, I would vote for it.
Mayor, would you support something like that?
Depends how it's written and
yes.
what it says.
That, depends
that's
on
the,
how it's written.
Yeah. That's the $64 question.
Yes.
Yeah. In principle, Barry's right. You can't afford a new facility without a tax of some kind, because you can't maintain it, let alone find the money to build it. That's the practical problem. And if the citizens vote for it, it'll help the community. If the citizens don't want it, then we're stuck where we are. And the citizens get what the citizens get. So I would have to see how it's written before I would say specifically I would or wouldn't.
You get last word, Chief.
Oh, great.
Final call.
I just feel like this is almost like Groundhog Day. We've been talking about this
for years
and years and years and years, and it's
same problem.
Until there's some changes on the legislative level, we need to reverse some of the effects of Prop 47, be able to hold people accountable. As we said, we need a facility, and as a voter, I would support a sales tax initiative to build a new jail as well. Whether it's a minimum security facility dealing with that or a whole new system in place to deal with it and get that thing out of downtown. I mean, that jail has to be replaced eventually anyway. It's already fallen apart. So, and then as for the business owners, call us. We are happy to help. We need to know when you're a repeat victim so we can try and help address those issues. If you don't call us, we can't help you. So please call.
And that's one of the things people are so used to it. Yeah,
know, and they are.
And it, is there going to be a next step? Is vigilantism?
But
in the worst case.
Yeah, for years I've been saying in this room that we are understaffed. We're no longer understaffed. We're fully staffed. We have a lot of new programs in place. We have a lot of new officers. So we can go back to doing things that we didn't do before. So we can help businesses with crime prevention through environmental design. We can target locations that are having repeat offenders over and over again and do what we can to help them, like we are with the Cypress Square right now. We can do that and try and help them out.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. Yeah, you know what? We have been talking about this for, what, a decade? And but it doesn't go away. It looks like, okay, we need a new jail. Okay, we're going to have sales tax to build it. I really like the idea of that minimum security facility. That would take 500 people right there and actually get them help. We didn't even go into the mental health side of this, which is huge. Shasta Regional fills up their beds with their 5150s all the time. But I sure appreciate y'all coming in here and taking time.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's something that when you see a business owner that's right there on the edge of, like, gosh, you know, I moved out of Portland because I could see it happening.
That's what he said.
And come to Reading because I love it, and we love it in Reading.
And he feels and like he can see it happening again.
Yeah, and that was
to quote funny. Him.
Yeah,
we all wish there was an easy answer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Unfortunately, there isn't.
Yeah,
but no, that's what we all want. Nobody wants to see all these problems here.
No. Again, thank you so much for being with us and taking your time. I know you're all busy. Maybe not you, Mike. I couldn't let the whole hour go by.
No, you couldn't do that.
We have to. Hey, tomorrow. Like, happy note here. Happy note.
Tomorrow, Doug Jahnke will be on along with a number of other people, and Trish Clark will join us tomorrow. Everybody, have a good day. We're all in this together. We're all in this together, and nothing else we've heard. We have got to act as a community.